There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
The big question.
So what's the big question today, Jonathan?
Well, the big question today is what literary gifts you could give to the foodies in your life.
That's right. I'm really excited about this. From cookbooks to unforgettable experiences, we and our guest, food writer and author Courtney Brandt, will be suggesting some amazing gifts that you can get the bookworms and the foodies in your lives.
So what a pleasure. Courtney Brandt, a fine dining food blogger, Zomato ambassador and contributor to local television series What's Cooking UAE. She's been published in Khalij Times, Eat This Poem, and Expat Woman. Courtney, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, of course. A good question today. I know we're 2 days out from a big holiday, but there's still time left, I think.
Yeah, so I think there is still time. There are still people who are going to be going out tonight, Christmas Eve. I've done it before. I don't recommend it to anybody, but there will be those people. So if you're down to the wire and need some help, this is where we come in. Hopefully we can help you today. Before we get into our chat about some quirky and inspiring cookbooks, because I know you've got some great ones with you today, Courtney, I'd just like to give the listeners an idea that they can action from their phone right now. So if you're really stressed, we can help you now. There was an article in Time Out Dubai a while ago. I don't know if either of you saw it. It was recommending the best alternative Christmas gifts in the UAE. So that's an idea to check out if you're stuck in general. But one of those suggestions I want to talk about was two of the dinner events that are happening as part of the Emirates Airline Festival of Literature next March. So that's 1st to the 10th of March next year. That's when all the events are happening. So you can find more specific dates and time information on emiratesfest.com. But I just want to tell you a little bit about the two events. So Madda Jaffrey, either of you a fan of Madda Jaffrey?
Nope.
I maybe a fan to be, let's call
not,
it that.
Not a fan.
Exactly,
Convince us.
Okay, I will convince you. So I will convince you with the title of the event, which I'm extremely proud of, and I'm probably only impressing myself right now. But it's called Come Dull With Me. And may or may not be one of the best puns I've ever come up with, because I don't know if listeners or you know, but my main job throughout the week is actually working at the Emirates Airline Festival of Literature, and I'm on the programming team, and we kind of curate the events and come up with the titles, and we're mostly quite sober with the titles, but occasionally we have a little bit of fun with them, and this was one of those occasions. So you can enjoy a four-course meal at Come Dull With Me, designed by Madda Jaffrey, and you can listen to her chat about her career and the food in front of you, and that's happening on Friday, March the 2nd from 7:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. And there's also another event, and we have a book to give away as part of this as well. So My Stir-Fried Life will see you taste three courses from Asian culinary legend and celebrity chef Ken Hom, who will also be talking about his journey to stardom. And that's happening on Friday, March the 9th. Again, emiratesfest.com for more details. My Stir-Fried Life, we have a prize giveaway, don't we, Jonathan?
We do indeed, because it's actually the title of Ken Hom's memoir. So we have a competition question. Do we have the competition question?
We do have the competition questions. I don't know if they're right in front of me, but I do remember it off the top of my head, so we're fine. So the question is, if I can remember correctly, it is Ken Hom is such a household name in the UK, and he even has items of cookware named after him. And I'd like you to text in the name of the item that 1 in 7 households in the UK own with Ken Hom's name branded on it.
Ooh, I've got my hand up.
You know this one?
I know
this one. So if you know the answer to that, text it in with your name to 4001. We announce the winners at the end of the show, so there's plenty of time. Make sure you get those in, though. It's a great book. It's called My Stir-Fried Life, and it's his memoir, and it's going to be fantastic. So, speaking of books, we've got some brilliant giftable cookbooks to chat about. Courtney, you mentioned the other day one of the most literary cookbooks that I've seen in a long time, Eat This Poem.
Yes. Nicole Galata, she's somebody I've been following for a while. What she's done is she's taken poetry and she's taken cooking and she's put them together. So she has 25 poems. They're accompanied by 75 recipes. And there's also, you know, pictures, explanations. It's a really unique take on a cookbook. So I think to combine a love of food and a love of poetry, or just a love of literary devices, it's one to kind of check out. It's meant to serve both your body and spirit.
I'm not quite following this, Courtney. How are they paired?
I mean, yeah. So she has listed a poem at the start. So there's Thanksgiving in there. There's Dining Alone, kind of. So she's curated not her own poetry, but poetry from others, and kind of taken that as a place for inspiration for the recipes.
Okay, so it's a sort of thematic link or inspired. It's not like there's a poem about mince pies and then there's a recipe for mince
pies. Am I being too literal here? Really kind of, you know, not elevating it, but I think, you know, how many cookbooks have been written, and to take this kind of unique approach, I think that's something that I would look forward to, and maybe somebody in your life would look forward to.
Just a hint out there for yours truly. I love things like this, by the way. So if anybody's looking for last-minute gift ideas for me, wink, wink. You can't see me wink on the radio, but there you go. But I just love the concept of book and food pairings or beverage pairings. So instead of people recommending in restaurants, like waiters coming up to you and saying, I recommend this with this, I'd like them to recommend
a poem.
Like a poem or a book to me. I think that would be amazing. I think there's a market for
that
something.
That sounds like
out there.
Something Inked might do out in Alcoz, that they might do some sort of thematic evening, I don't know, in the future. Sounds like something up their alley.
I really hope they do, because it's on my bucket list for a waiter to come up to me and say, I'd recommend the Austin with the sorbet or something like that.
I'm there for that. A one-off evening would be fantastic for that.
I have another kind of literary cookbook to recommend, if I may. I told you about this, Courtney.
You sure did. Tell us more.
It's called The Little Library Cookbook, which, by the way, again, great gift for me, if anybody's listening. So basically, Kate Young came up with this cookbook. I'll let you tell her more about the idea behind it, but it's basically recipes from novels. So less poems, more fiction. So things like the treacle tart from Harry Potter. I don't know exactly if it's in there, but immediately when I think of food and books, I think of, you know, Marcel Proust, and I think of the Madeleine moment and things like that. So she's very much writing about the connection between food and literature and moments and why we remember them. And this is Kate Young talking about her inspiration.
My name's Kate Young, and I'm the author of The Little Library Cookbook. I was feeling anxious and lonely and a bit... I really love London, and I've loved living here for years, and I've wanted to live here since I was a child, but I had an incredible sense of homesickness, and I wanted to take myself back to being 10 years old again. So I thought, if I could make something that felt comforting then, it was treacle tart from Harry Potter, I thought I could take myself back to being 10 years old if I made this treacle tart again that I had dreamed about but never eaten as a child. It's literally just a memory from a book. And I made it, and I invited friends for dinner, and they were like, you should write about that. That's a nice thing to write about. For me, both books and food are really rooted in emotion. I have a really good memory for books that I've read at certain points in my life, what they meant to me at that point in my life. I reread books a lot because of the emotion that they gave me the first time, and looking at how that's different 10 years later. And food does the same thing. I remember where I was when I first ate a specific meal that I really love. I remember my mum's cooking really well. I remember my dad's cooking really well. I remember all the cooking that I did when I first moved to London and lived in a flat. It's all rooted in quite specific, tangible emotion. And so I think that what I wanted to write was a book that reflected that.
So there you go. That was Kate Young on what inspired her to write The Little Library Cookbook, which I think sounds like a lovely gift to get somebody. Perfect last minute gift. So Courtney and Jonathan, what are the recipes from books that really stand out for the both of you? I'm curious, what would you love to recreate, Courtney?
Ooh, great question. So many good books. I'm trying to think of actually some of my own, and where maybe a meal has been kind of a pivotal moment. You know, they can do so many things. Conversations happen over meals. So in my second book, in a trilogy that I'm working on, is unpublished. There's a big meal in a fictional country, and I had to make up some delicacies of a fictional country. So I think I would like to get together with a creative chef and kind of work out what does a new menu look like from a place that doesn't exist.
Jonathan, any ideas from you? Or
anything from the Oliver musical song Food, Glorious Food.
Except the gruel, maybe.
Well, depends how hungry you get. I think I would just like to mention my favorite cookbook, actually. That's one I'd like to bring up, which is The 30-Minute Cook by Nigel Slater. And this is actually, I mean, I wouldn't call it an old book, but it's from 1992, and it's very different to the cookbooks that are written now. It was the first cookbook that I ever owned, and it's very of its time. Nigel Slater has this sort of unassuming personality, which is in real contrast to today's big egoed chefs. And I've had it for nearly 20 years, and the book itself is in a pretty pitiful state, covered in various different
as
types of cooking.
As they should be.
It's been well used. And I have a handful of other cookbooks, Jamie Oliver, James Martin. My wife's a big fan of James Martin, but I find Nigel much more accessible, quick, and his stuff is very tasty.
30 minutes. That's really all you need, I think. It's a good one.
What's the longest you've ever spent cooking something?
Do you want to know something? I'm going to disclose this. Okay. I am a foodie, but I am not a cook at all. So I love dining out, but in my own home, it's pretty basic, I'm not going to lie.
I like the honesty on Talking of Books today. Welcome, Courtney Brandt, honest guest to the studio. So we've just scratched the surface with those last-minute gift ideas for food-obsessed bookworms, so stay tuned for that. And a letter about Santa Claus and the Cold War. Find out who, what, where, when, and why that has anything to do with gifts when we come back.
The big question.
So today we are asking what literary gifts you can get the foodies in your lives. And we're here with Courtney Brandt, who's a food writer and also an author in her own right. Courtney, what would you suggest? I mean, you've got a couple things up your sleeve still.
I do, and I'll start with the books. So I think I'd like to start kind of the holidays, and not everybody's as fortunate as the rest of us. So I looked at Cook for Syria, which is a collection of different recipes, and most or a good percentage of the money that's raised goes back to those in need. Another thing I like to do is...
Are they Syrian recipes?
Are they Middle Eastern, Levantine recipes? Yes.
Okay.
And so of that, but you know, I'd recommend anybody to kind of have a look and see, you know, how you can support. And I also like to look ahead because we're going to be eating a lot in the next couple of days. Maybe some kilos will be added to the scales. And I like to look ahead and look at what are we going to do in the new year to support maybe some long-term goals and resolutions.
Absolutely nothing. Sorry.
Well, you can do a lot through your diet to kind of promote healthy eating. And maybe we don't insult our friends and family when they open up a book and see, you know, detox diet or something like that. But I think there's a lot of good books out there that could support a new you in the new year. Yeah.
Before we carry on, I just want to remind everybody again that you're listening to Dubai Eye 103.8, and this is Talking of Books. I'm Annabelle. With me is Jonathan Siklos, my wonderful co-host, and Courtney Brandt, our guest in the studio. And you can win something today. So if you're down to the wire and you want to win something for the foodie in your life, you have the chance to do that today. So we're giving away a copy of Ken Hom's My Stir-Fried Life. His session for the Emirates Airline Festival of Literature next year is already on sale at emiratesliverfest.com. And if you'd like to win a copy of the book, answer this question. Ken Hom is one of the world's foremost authorities on Oriental cooking and even has a hugely popular cookware item marketed under his name or brand. What is the name of the item? We have a couple of right answers coming in. I'm very impressed with you all. So text in the answer with your name to 4001. We announce the winners at the end of the show. Courtney, any more up your sleeve?
I do. You know, I'm going to turn towards food experiences because maybe it doesn't always have to be a cookbook. I like to do things and share things. So we've got Frying Pan Adventures in town. It's a food tour.
I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yes, we like to support local, and they're one of the best. So you can go out into the community and some of the tucked away secrets of Dubai and do that with your friends and family.
That's something that, funnily enough, the authors at every festival get the opportunity to do. So they get the opportunity to do a food tour as well as, you know, go up to the Burj Khalifa and stuff like that. So it's part of their social cultural program. And we're actually going to be having the woman from Frying Pan Adventures coming on early January to talk to us about that. And hopefully she'll have some fun anecdotes about what the authors got up to, because I always wonder what actually happens on those trips. Jonathan, you've actually got a really interesting book that you want to share that's quite funny.
Yes, it is. I think so anyway. So this is a book by a guy called Jeffrey Steingarten. The name of the book is The Man Who Ate Everything. And I think the best way to describe this would be somewhere between Freakonomics and a foodie Bill Bryson. So what he does...
I'm in. Yeah.
He takes everyday foods or everyday ingredients, as simple as water, bread, salt, chocolate, and he explores how it's made, if appropriate, where it is done best in the world, and he explodes the myths associated with them. So, for example, his chapter on pizza. He takes his oven out into the garden and removes the thermostat, enabling it to heat to 500 degrees. He creates the perfect pizza and destroys the oven in the process. In another chapter on monosodium glutamate, he explores the American fear. Maybe, Courtney, you can help us out with this. American fear of the food additive, and asks, why doesn't everyone in China have a headache?
Good questions. I like it. As we go back to, you know, the start of the hour when we were talking, that it's when you ask these questions, whether you're bringing poetry or whatever, you're bringing in a new look. That sounds like an absolutely fascinating look at food and where it comes from.
And his books are interspersed with recipes that are the absolute antithesis of modern cookbooks. So the modern cookbook, like the one I just mentioned, promises delicious, healthy food in 30 minutes. His do the exact opposite. They make no promises of having any health benefits, often quite to
Except
the contrary.
To destroy your cooker, maybe.
Well, apart from that. And often, not only can they not be made in 30 minutes, but they have to be made over a number of days.
Can you give us an example?
His coq au vin, for example, needs to be made over about 3 days.
Wow.
Okay. It better be pretty special.
I was
going to
say, for the modern cook, that does seem like a big ask, but I hope the payoff is worth it.
I'm sure it is. So let me give you a little taster of what Jeffrey Steingarten's writing sounds like. He says, "I have always considered Greek cuisine an oxymoron. Nations are like people. Some are good at cooking, while others have a talent for music or baseball. The Greeks are really good at both pre-Socratic philosophy and white statues. They have not been good cooks since the 5th century BC, when Sicily was the gastronomic capital of the world. Typical of modern-day Greek cuisine are feta cheese and retsina wine. Any country that pickles its national cheese in brine and adulterates its national drink with pine pitch should order dinner at the local Chinese place and save its energies for other things. The British go to Greece just for the food, which says volumes to me."
So that book's doing quite well in Greece, I expect.
I think that if there was going to be a hashtag for this book, it would just be burn.
Yeah.
So that reminds us of the title of that, if anybody's looking for great gift ideas.
That is The Man Who Ate Everything. And there's a follow-up book called It Must Have Been Something I Ate by the very amusing Jeffrey Steingarten.
Now, I want to share a book that isn't a cookbook, but it has a very tenuous food link, because Jonathan and I want to read something festive today. And a few years ago, I got one of the best Christmas gifts of all time, and that was the Letters of Note book. And I don't know if you've heard of this. It's basically correspondence deserving of a wider audience. That's the tagline for it. And I've been completely obsessed with it since it first came out. It was crowdfunded. There's a second one out now. There's even speeches of note and lists of note. There's all sorts of things that you can get if the person in your life already has the first one. And it's basically letters from people like the Queen. You've got musicians like David Bowie, Iggy Pop in there, and ordinary people as well, just with phenomenal correspondence, and famous authors as well, like F. Scott Fitzgerald and Jane Austen. And I was reading through my lovely well-thumbed copy, and I found a series of correspondence between a little girl and John F. Kennedy. And Jonathan, I would like to read this out today. So if I just introduce this, basically. So 1961, just 1 year after the Queen had actually sent a recipe to President Eisenhower for her drop scones. That's another story. An 8-year-old girl in the US was overhearing her parents talk about the possibility of Soviet nuclear tests at the North Pole. And she did what any child would do. She picked up a pencil and she wrote a letter. She wrote a letter to President John F. Kennedy and asked him to prevent the tests for one particular reason. So I'll read Michelle's letter to JFK, and then Jonathan has kindly agreed to be JFK today and read out his response. Are you
American
ready?
American accent? No?
Let's see.
Okay. Let's see. Well, this is kind of a test for Jonathan today. "Dear Mr. Kennedy, please stop the Russians from bombing the North Pole because they will kill Santa Claus. I am 8 years old. I am in the third grade at Holy Cross School. Yours truly, Michelle Rochon."
And John F. Kennedy wrote back as follows. "Dear Michelle, I was glad to get your letter about trying to stop the Russians from bombing the North Pole and risking the life of Santa Claus. I share your concern about the atmospheric testing of the Soviet Union, not only for the North Pole, but for countries throughout the world. Not only for Santa Claus, but for people throughout the world. However, you must not worry about Santa Claus. I talked with him yesterday, and he is fine. He will be making his rounds again this Christmas. Sincerely, John F. Kennedy.
Thank you for putting our minds at rest, President Kennedy.
I was transported. I was absolutely transported.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's unfortunately all we have time for. It's absolutely flown by. Thank you so much, Courtney, for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me, of course.
And talking to us about all sorts of cookbooks and lovely foodie things. I'm very hungry now. Why did you not bring food?
Oh, I had a big meal last night. I was reviewing a place.
Okay, well, next time you must bring food for us.
Yes, definitely.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.